We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
And good morning to you, church, and good morning to all of our friends and family that are joining us online, whether you're joining us this morning on YouTube, whether you're joining us on Facebook, on Zoom. We want you to know that we celebrate Jesus together with you, and we are so excited that you have had the opportunity and to take the time to join us this morning. We pray that the Lord will touch you, will minister to you wherever you are. So thank you very much. And for you guys who buried all and are here this morning, we pray that we have already started having a good time, and we pray that we'll continue to have a good time this morning. May God bless you all. I just want to start by, you know, before I get too excited, and just acknowledge the leadership of this church for the opportunity that they've given me to share thoughts that God has been teaching me concerning this theme. What a season we are in. I'm so excited. It's always a privilege, you know, to share with you, you know, whatever I'm learning. And this is one of the opportunities. And I want to thank the leadership of the church for giving me the opportunity. It is an exciting season that we are in. A season of open doors and open seasons, open doors and open heavens. Who would not want to just, you know, when I'm coming out of my car and my husband's, you know, hears me parking the car, and then he comes and opens the door, I feel like a queen walking into the house. I don't have to touch the door, you know. So when you're talking about open doors, you know, it should be exciting because we feel like we are all VIPs. We're just walking in. So during this period, you know, during this period of COVID-19, it has even made me, you know, appreciate open doors. Because, you know, those automatic doors where you just walk through, you don't have to think of the sanitizer because you don't know who has been touching the door. So you just walk through and you do your business. I really dread going into the convenience shops at this moment where you have to fight the door to open. You don't know whether you're pulling it, pushing it. By the time you realize what you're doing, time is gone. So it's an exciting season, isn't it? But you know what? The open doors we are talking about this season are a bit different, you know, from the ones we walk through in the shopping malls. They're a bit different. The word that captured my heart from what Pastor Moyo has been preaching about for the past few weeks, introducing our church theme, in terms of the part that I personally have to play during this season, is the word see in Revelation 3, verse 8b. See. You know, Revelation 3, 8b says, see, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. See, I have opened an open door before you, and no one can shut it. You know, it really caught my attention, this word see, because it kind of, you know, communicated to me that I got to see the open door. And so I searched for the word see to really get to understand what it means. And the word see itself is a verb that means to perceive, you know, or identify with your eyes. It means to discern visually. It means to recognize or to discern or understand after reflection or from information. So, you know, my friends, the call for us this season is to discern and perceive the open door in front of you and me. It sounds like it's all hinged on what we see or whether we even see something, whether we even see anything. And you know what? As I've been meditating upon this word, I believe the story of the widow and the oil might help us to understand the significance of seeing in this season. It might give us a glimpse of what it means to see during this season. So if you've got your Bible, if you are as traditional as me, I still carry my Bible even during COVID times where we have to have minimal touch, minimal carry, whatever minimal we can minimize. So, but I still have my Bible. So if you could, if you are in the auditorium, if you could stand with us, if you're in the house this morning, let's stand together and let's read from 2 Kings 4, verse 1 to 7. Yeah, thank you, media team. We might as well just read together so that it's going in harmony. Okay, so at the count of three, we all read together. One, two, three. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God and said, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." Father, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. How we pray that may this word be like fire shut up in our bones this morning. May it minister to us. May it reach the areas where you want it to reach. May it communicate what you want it to communicate. And I pray that you anoint my lips to do exactly what you want me to do this morning. May I not speak my mind. May I not speak my ideas. May I not speak my thoughts. But communicate the message that you want to minister to your children, to your church, to your bride. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you. Take over, Holy Spirit, and take over. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, church. You may be seated. So, this story happened at a time when Israel was being ruled by evil kings who were not following the ways of the Lord. It was a time when the kings of Israel were promoting idolatry through Baal worship. So, this family was one of the few who were still worshiping the true God, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. People were now consulting other gods when they were facing a crisis, but not for this widow. Her family was part of a remnant in Israel, if you want to put it that way. This sounds a bit familiar with us today, right? Today we live in a world where there are many doors and many made solutions to the various challenges we are facing. It is an era where everything goes. Every opinion matters, and every preference is right and should be respected. A time when the scripture, in my view, that says the righteous shall live by faith is fulfilled. And you know what? Those that fear the Lord can still see what the Lord is doing around them. Despite the lockdown, those that fear the Lord can still see what God is doing in their families. Those that fear the Lord can still see what God is about to do. Despite the economy going down, despite the COVID challenges, they can still see what God is doing around them. So, what can we learn from this widow? What can we learn about seeing an open door? The topic or the title of my message this morning is Seeing an Open Door. Seeing an Open Door. So what can we learn? I'm going to share with you a few pointers that may help you to identify an open door. It's just a few that will help you to know how to identify an open door. The first point I will share with you is know which door to knock. Know which door to knock. In verse 1, the widow cried out to the prophet, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." The desperate widow knew which door to knock when she was faced with a crisis. Her debtors wanted to enslave her sons as a payment for the debt that her husband, her late husband, owed. And so what? She cried out to the man of God. not the bank manager, not the rich family in her local community church. She cried out to the man of God, not an auntie or an uncle who was well-to-do. She cried out to the man of God, not even to her neighbors who might have seemed to have it all because of the parked cars on their driveway. No, she approached the man of God and presented her case to him, begging him to do something about it. Friends, I would like to believe, and I would like to think as well, that this widow knew very well that Prophet Elisha was certainly not a bank or a microfinance representative. She knew that. But a spiritual father to her late husband, who was one of the sons of the prophets. Yet, she cried out. She chose to cry out to the man of God among all the possible sympathizers she could have gone to within a local community. She ran to the man of God. She knew which door to knock. Possibly because her husband, as a God-fearing man, had taught her over the years of their marriage where to go, where to consult, and whom to consult when in need of help. Possibly. She perceived the man of God will do something about a crisis. I believe the widow's confidence and her boldness was anchored on their relationship with God as a family and her understanding of God's promise to those that fear him, that the children, the righteous children, will not go hungry. That's what David said in Psalms. That's God's promise. And he also promised that I will protect the widows and I will defend the orphans. That's the promise of God. She knew it. No wonder why she used her husband's credentials as she approached the man of God. Your servant feared the Lord. It takes discernment to see beyond the man and perceive a solution to your crisis. When there is no evidence around them that they can give you a solution, it takes discernment to see. My question to us this morning is, what is your crisis? If the widow was not in a crisis, she would have not experienced a miracle. Do you know which door to knock this season? Who is your point of contact? Who is your on call that you can call 24/7? What is your anchor of confidence in this season? My advice to you this morning is, identify your crisis. Identify your crisis and run to the key owner. We were taught about the key owner, that for the door to open that has been set before you, there has to be the key owner next to the door. Stand on the truth about your relationship with him. Just like the widow said, your servant feared the Lord. You know what? You cannot perceive the door if you don't have a relationship with the key owner and the door opener. You cannot perceive the door. It's impossible. The only way to know which door to knock is waiting for the one who has opened the door before you. So I encourage you to fix your eyes on him in this season. He will enlighten your eyes of understanding so you can see the open door set before you. Remember, we ought to see the door. And that leads me to point number two. Know what you have in your house. Know what you have in your house. In verse 2, so Elisha said to her, the prophet's response to the widow's urgent need was asking her a couple of questions. What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? I mean, this woman is crying to you, prophet, and you are asking her questions. What she needs is a solution. But you know what? Somebody said, questions create access if asked from a discerning heart. The prophet knew that there was something this woman heard, which was part of the solution. He perceived. He had a discerning heart. The widow replied, your maid servant has nothing at all in the house, except just a little jar of oil What you see is nothing but a little something in your house. What do you see is nothing but a little something in your life. Is it possible that you're overlooking the very thing God wants to use as a key to open your door of opportunity? Is it possible? You know, it might be something so small and insignificant, you know, nothing to talk about really, as it is only a little oil in a little jar. It can be something within you. It can be something in your heart, like your abilities, like your skills, like your ideas, like your dream, like your talents, like your gifts, yet you still see it as nothing. You can be saying, I only have a little job, really, and I get a little salary after all. And you know what? I'm a little wage, a minimum wage. Doesn't make a difference. And my business is so little, it's even failing to take off. And our income as a family is quite a little income to talk about. We really have a few resources. But you know what? Whatever you have, no matter how little, begin to see it and appreciate it. In this season, begin to see it and appreciate it. It might be the clue to your key for the open door set before you. It might be. Your miracle might be locked in that little oil you have. Friends, I encourage you, let's check what we have in our houses this season. We need to understand that it's not the amount of oil that you have that determines the door that God is opening for you. It's not. It's not even your status. It's not even your level of education. It doesn't matter how many degrees you have. Not with God. It's not your position at work. It doesn't matter how many people you lead and manage. It's not your material positions or even your connections that opens the door before you. Not in this season. It's good you have connections, right? But not in this season. It's His power, the power of the key holder, the power of the owner. You might be saying, I only lead children's church and there are only 10 children. So what are they to talk about? It's not the size of the ministry you lead that changes lives and turns them into fully devoted followers of Christ. It's the grace of the key owner that forms lives and transforms communities for the advancement of the kingdom of God. It's His power. So all we need to do is to offer and surrender whatever we have to the Lord. That's all we need to do. Do not despise the small beginnings. Do not despise your little something. Do not despise your little oil. God's doors of opportunity are not always obvious. Neither are His miracles. The little oil is all you need to step into your door of opportunity. Tell your neighbor, I know you're 2 meters away, but just tell the one who can hear your voice, tell them you only need a little oil. Tell them again, you only need a little oil. Amen. And that leads us to pointer number 3. Let the key owner order your steps. Verse 3 and 4. Let the key owner order your steps. So the woman had just told the prophet, I have nothing but just a little oil. And the prophet followed that answer with an instruction. Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors. Empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons. Then pour it into all those empty vessels and set aside the full ones. You know, I've come to tell somebody this morning that do not rush to walk through the open door just because you have seen it. You know, sometimes when we are using a navigation system in the car, when you get to the postcode where you are going and it says to you, you know, you just turn right and your house, your destination is on the left. Some of us, we immediately switch it off because I'm in the road. I can now read the numbers. I don't need your navigation. I mean, all this time it has been going through you. I mean, it has been leading you. And now it has just said you are now in the road where you can on the road where you can find your destination. You just turn it off. It's making noise all of a sudden. It's no longer useful all of a sudden. Do you know what? Sometimes we do that with God. Hey, just because you have been called for the interview, prayer meetings stop. Just because they've sent you an application form, prayer meeting stop. I got it, Lord. I got it all covered now. I can research about this job now. Do you know what I mean? Prayer is not going to show me what I need to do. I need to research. So I have no time for prayer. I would tell you again, do not push your way through the open door just because you have seen it. Don't push your way through the door. We were warned for the past few weeks through the theme teaching that we received that we should not open the door to our destinies alone, even if you see it. Not even use side doors, because you know there are always side doors that you can do shortcuts. Or even negotiate your destiny with the enemy. But we need to wait on the Lord. Wait for the curious moments in our lives. Because only God can open doors to your destiny. Only God. So wait for the key holder to unlock it. Tell you and tell you what to do. He will tell you what you ought to do next. He will lead you. He knows the next step that you need to take. He knows how deep it is. He knows how wide it is. Sometimes you can miscalculate the step that you go to take and you think you can just go it by and you realize you trip because you miscalculated. In this season, let the key holder order your next step. Do not trip. He is your navigation system. And he says in his word, I have written your name on the palm of my hands. Your walls are continuously before me. Isaiah 49 verse 16. Implying that God is always in control of our lives. If we give him the room to take charge, he does not sleep nor slumber, friends. He doesn't. He's always watching our coming in and our going out, our lining up and our lying down and our rising up. He is watching. He notices you. You are not an accident in the sight of God. Your life is written in the palm of your hands. So wait for the instructions from him. Let him tell you what to do with the little oil you have in your house. He knows the many empty vessels he wants you to reach with that little oil, no matter how little. Keep your eyes fixed on him and connected to him. The message for this season, if it's going to advance the kingdom of God, his kingdom, not our kingdom, but his kingdom, because we can enter our territories, you know that. We can get through the open doors and really make ourselves big, right? And be a church of big people with big monies, with big businesses, with big everything. We can. But the message that he gave us seems to be it's for the advancement of his kingdom. So it's for whosoever from everywhere, including our not so happy neighbors who might be tired of us borrowing stuff from them, you know, because we are needy people. You know, we only have a little oil. They even have labeled us as needy people. But we still needed to go borrow vessels from them. But this time around, ask for empty vessel. Don't ask anything in it. Empty vessel. Let's reach out to them. They are empty vessels that needed to be filled with the little oil that you and me have so that they can become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. That's our business as we advance the kingdom of God in this season. That's our business. And that leads us to our point number 4. Be willing to obey God's word. Verse 5 and 6. Be willing to obey God's word. In verse 5 and 6, it says, so she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her and poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. And the oil, so the oil ceased. Notice something. I want you to notice something about this widow. This widow did not question or ask for clarification from the prophet how that was going to happen. How? I've just told you I've got a little oil, and you are telling me pour a little oil and fill all the empty vessels that I would have borrowed. How did that happen? And after all, why do I have to close the door? Shut the door. Who am I running away from? I'm not afraid. I live in my community. In fact, my house is detached. So why should I close the door? She didn't. She obeyed the man of God's command and organized empty vessels with their sons, as many as they borrow from their community. She did. You know, the issue about the one thing that I learned from this woman is the fact that she did not doubt the ability of the man of God to solve a crisis from the word of God. That's why she cried out to her. So she was willing to obey everything she told her because she believed in what she was saying. She did not doubt. Have you ever gone to somebody asking for advice or asking for help? And all of a sudden, they're trying to tell you and helping you. Your lights turn off. You say, don't worry, now I know what to do. It's fine, okay, it's all right. You don't wait for you don't want to follow the instructions anymore because your lights have turned on now. You don't need them. And only to realize that when you started thinking that your lights are on, you realize they are not really fully on. You still need to go back and ask again. She did as the prophet instructed and experienced a miracle of a lifetime. Today we talk about her. We talk about the miracle. Friends, it takes obedience and trust in the faithfulness of God's word and promises for us to see the opportunities set before us in this season. It will take obedience and trust in the faithfulness of his word and his promises. He only gave us a word. See, I've set an open door before you. It's up to us to obey that word. It's up to us to trust that word. The empty vessels they had collected were all filled because they obeyed and took a step of faith. Remember, faith is what you can see as you consider what you cannot see. That is faith. What you can see as you consider what you cannot see. Doors of opportunity will open to those whose eyes of faith are open to see the doors that are not yet open as the evidence of doors set before them. At least there's a door that I can see. It's evidence of a door, an open door that's set before me. The oil only flows continuously when you start to pour it out into empty vessels. It only starts flowing when you start pouring it into empty vessels of all sorts and all sizes. Are you willing to obey and trust God with empty vessels this season? Are you willing to go around and borrowing vessels, empty vessels, and fill them with the little oil you have? And something else that we might not miss, most important thing. She remembered to shut the door. She remembered to shut the door. You know, I've been advised that don't tell everybody your plans. Sometimes, you know, just do what God is telling you to do. When you have a revelation, don't go plant a church with that one revelation. Because it might actually be just for you, not for your community. You know, Joseph found himself in trouble because of telling everybody what God was showing him in a dream. He found himself in the pit, and he ended up in Egypt because he couldn't just keep quiet a little bit. I want to encourage you this, to advise you that don't run around from door to door unless if you are looking for more empty vessels. Don't go tell them, I've just been from the prophet. And you know what the prophet said? The prophet said, gather some empty vessels and come and see. Something is going to happen. I don't know what happened, but come and see. No. Shut the door. Have a moment with God alone. Have a moment with him. Witness the doors unlocking before you in private and tell the whole world as a testimony. Tell them as a testimony. Let them see you selling the oil and wonder, how has it happened? Just yesterday, we saw you running down that road crying out because creditors were coming to your house. We saw their car parked on your driveway. And now you are selling oil. All of this oil. By the way, olive oil was a very treasured commodity in Israel. So it was just not simple stuff. So let them see you selling that oil. And then they will ask you, how has this happened? Then that's your opportunity to begin to advance the kingdom of God. As you begin to tell them the goodness of the Lord, as you begin to tell them how your God is able to make a way where there seems to be no way, how God is able to meet you at your point of your need, how God is your Jehovah Jireh, who sees to it that he provides, even in times where there is famine. Tell them you have an opportunity. Don't seek audience prematurely. When you actually don't, the miracle hasn't unfolded and you want to say it. God wants an audience with you and your household first. Reach out to your household first. Let them witness the demonstration of the power of God in your life. It starts in your house. You know those two boys? I just imagine them being at the verge of becoming slaves. And the next day they are business owners selling oil. Hey, you can't forget that God. You can't put that God aside. It doesn't matter what you become in life. You will remember the Lord who has saved you. And I think those two boys saved the Lord their whole life. Why? Their mother shut the door and they witnessed the miracle. They didn't offer, seek help from other people. They shut the door and God did it and transformed them and changed them and revealed himself. And when they went out carrying the jars of oil for mom to sell at the market, they were just saying, this God is good. He has done it for us. Shut the door. Reach out to your family first. It starts in your house. All the vessels in your household filled with the oil. Then use it to advance his kingdom. That's the cause for this season. Tell your neighbor, that's the cause for this season. Tell them again, you've got a mask. They didn't hear you. That's the cause for this season. Thank you. And so let's conclude this story. Let's conclude it. My time is going. In verse 7, it says, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. As we conclude this text today, I would like to focus your attention on the importance of remaining connected to God as you walk through your open doors. You know, I want you to notice something. This widow started with crying to the man of God and ended with consulting the man of God. Hallelujah. She started crying and now she's going to consult the man of God. She went back to consult and update the prophet as if the prophet was not aware of the outcome. Remember, he's the one who said, go get empty vessels, fill them. Those that are full, put them aside. He knew what was going to happen, but not for this woman. She didn't say, well, he prayed, he told me. I need money to pay the debtor, so to the creditor. So I'm just going to go and sell the oil. Why go back to him? In fact, he's busy with other people. All of a sudden, you have the itinerary of the pastor because the door has opened. All of a sudden, the house of God seems to be too far because you are driving. But when you're using the bus, it was okay. Hey, all of a sudden, but not for this widow, not for this widow. She went back. She understood the importance of accountability and seeking guidance from the men of God. I want you to remember that the open doors before us that no man can shut is an opportunity for us to reach people and turn them into fully devoted followers of Christ and nothing else. There are blessings, of course, that those who obey God's word and trust in Him enjoy. But it's not the cause to fight for open doors. It's not the cause. The cause for this season is advancement of the kingdom of God. So we need to hold on to the key owner and the door opener. Because guess what? He still has the power to shut the door while you're in and you're stuck inside. So you need Him. Remain accountable to those whom God will use to commission you into your open door of opportunity. Remain accountable to those whom God will use to commission you into your door of opportunity. Let them guide you as you navigate through your open doors. Continue to seek godly counsel and accept correction. It doesn't matter how successful you have become. Keep desiring to learn, despite your level of success. And you know what? That calls for humility. Like Jesus, who humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Philippians 2 verse 8. Will you let that mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus? Remember, there's a cause for this season of open doors. The question I would like us to remain with today is, are we willing to acknowledge what we have in our houses? Are we willing to acknowledge, to appreciate what we have in our lives? The Lord is encouraging us to see the open door He has set before us. But sometimes the open doors might not be always very obvious to us. Sometimes we don't even see them. We need God's presence. We need the presence of God to see the open doors. Once we see them, we can walk through them with Him holding us on His side, letting Him be behind us, be beside us, be in front of us, and be all around us. We need to still let Him have that room with us. It took the widow acknowledging the little oil she had in her house to see the door of opportunity in her life. So begin to see yourself as a vessel that carries a little something God can use to glorify His name. Empty yourself of whatever you have, and let God fill it up to open. Let God fill it up and use it to glorify His name. Let God fill you up. Help you. God will help us to see the opportunities that are set before us. Is the little oil you have, God will use to open greater doors for you. He wants us to see and take every door of evangelistic opportunity that He has given us to advance His kingdom. Check what you have. I repeat it again. Check what you have in your life. Check what you have in your house and commit it to the Lord. Trust Him to fulfill His promise to us in this season as we see the open doors set before us. Remember, it starts with seeing in this season. It starts with seeing. Let us pray. Father, we thank You. We thank You for the promise of open doors set before us. We thank You for encouraging us to see the open doors set before us. This morning, Father, we come before the throne of Your grace and we say, here we are, Lord. We ask You, Holy Spirit, to show us, to help us, to identify even the doors that we need to start knocking. For You say, seek, you shall find, ask, it shall be given unto you, knock, the doors will be open. Father, we pray that You may help us to knock the right doors, the doors that You have set before us. We pray, Father God, that as we knock on those doors, may we begin to appreciate who we are in You. May we begin to appreciate the work of the grace of God over our lives. May we begin to appreciate what You have given us, because we carry something from You. We carry something of You. No matter how little, we carry something. I pray, Father God, for those that already know their doors, they've identified their doors, they've seen their doors, they know what they have in their lives, and they are saying, Lord Jesus, I can't wait. I pray, Father, that they will allow You to order their steps. I pray, Father God, that they wait on the instructions from You. I pray that they will not take another step into the door unless You tell them to do so. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, oh Father, for those, my God, that are saying, oh Lord Jesus, I seem to be too fast. I seem to want to help you. Father, I pray that in this season, teach us to obey you. Teach us to follow the instructions. Teach us to trust in your faithfulness and in the promises of your word. Now I pray, Father God, that as we walk through these open doors, I pray that we remain connected with you. May we always check our connectivity with you. May we always check whether we have the right network with you. May we always check, my God, that we are communicating with you in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that we'll not be too excited about the open doors more than we are excited about our connection with you in the name of Jesus. May I pray that, my God, may we not be fixing our eyes on the open doors you have set before us more than fixing our eyes on you, who is the doorkeeper and the door opener. Father, I pray that we'll remain accountable, we'll remain connected to you, letting you guide us, letting you lead us, letting you take us to the place where you want us to be, in the mighty name of Jesus. And for all this, my God, may your kingdom be extended, may your kingdom be advanced, may your kingdom be enlarged, in the name of Jesus. May we do all that we do for you, Jesus. May we do all that we do for the glory of your name, for the praise of your name, in the mighty name of Jesus. So Lord, here we are. Use us as vessels that carry a little oil that will fill loads of empty vessels in our communities, in our workplaces, in our households. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Help us to see, Lord. Open our eyes to see. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Thank you, church. May the Lord bless you. And thank you for joining us. It's always a blessing to be in the house of God.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.